go immediately after this talk for a business meeting. So let's invite Dr. Steve Kerman to talk about active organic matter.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for being here. So I'm going to talk today about a paper that is kind of hot off the press right now in SSAJ. And it's a collective work from a number of collaborators that are recognized at the bottom here. And part of it is just trying to, you know, thinking about soil health and what it all means and how we're going to measure things. There's a lot of different kind of sub-questions in terms of how we're going to get to where we collectively want to go. And I think that I have a large extension appointment, talk a lot with growers, and there's a common theme about, you know, trying to relate this to economics and what it's going to mean to the bottom line. And it's, I believe we're nowhere close to that at this point, but, you know, it is a consideration. And so maybe some of this work is kind of justified in trying to move in that direction, okay? So soil quality, organic carbon, organic matter, right? These are things that are kind of fundamental drivers of what it means, what we think about in soil health. And we've, you know, just heard this morning a lot of talks that are showing time and time again about the role that carbon plays in kind of the construction of an index. And so, of course, not all organic matter is created equal. And there's, you know, we can operationally define fractions of organic matter. And I'm particularly interested in this active fraction, okay? And so we can do that lots of different ways, right? As soil scientists, we've defined lots of different methods. They're out there. But from kind of an applied perspective, trying to identify rapid, simple indicators, which is really, in many ways, what we need to do in terms of moving it from a research setting into a commercial operation so commercial testing labs can actually get this stuff done for folks. So the active fraction is important. It's very important in the context of a producer because it's that available pool that cycles rapidly. It's very important for crop nutrient acquisition. It's a site of aggregation. It's really that active zone where a lot of that action transformation takes place that cycles energy and nutrients, okay? And so in particular, a couple of tests that, you know, I'm not alone doing this, but a couple tests that I'm interested in is looking at this permanganate oxidizable carbon. This is work from Ray Wild, Rafiq Islam. And this mineralizable carbon, which is respiration, Solvita, you know, call it whatever you like. And an important thing to kind of consider, and there was a question about this earlier in the session, is this kind of relative role about stabilization and mineralization processes. I when I give talks to growers, I say, well, what are you more interested in? Do you want to build long-term, over the long-term, do you want to build carbon for building organic matter, or do you want to have that carbon be mineralized so it, you know, you can feed the crops? And the answer is usually both, right? I mean, they're collectively interested in this, and we recognize that stabilization and mineralization are related processes, that they co-occur. We can't really manipulate one versus the other in a really direct sense, but we know that that these are kind of very important not only in the short term for crop nutrition, but also in the long term for kind of the long term health and sustainability of that system. So epoxy or active carbon and mineralizable carbon or respiration. Okay, so this is what this experiment was exploring. So you know, there's been some work done on both of these things, and I think that we have a decent idea that they're both inexpensive. They're both sensitive to management. They both can be amenable to commercial soil testing labs. They're both offered in various labs across the country. They're both really reflections of, I mean, it's a measurement of carbon, an active carbon, so you get a ppm value of carbon But how are they related? So this is the big question, right? So how is this active carbon defined by permanganate oxidation versus respiration? How are these two things related? Okay. The objectives to determine that relationship, to determine not just how those two measurements are related, but actually what they functionally might reflect in the soil. And then, kind of as a side note, to determine the ability of both of these metrics or these indicators to determine to predict crop yield and above ground biomass. So I reached out to a number of collaborators, and we had soil sent from various different types of cropping systems. Most of these were long-term cropping systems that kind of manipulated the usual suspects, things like cover crop, no tillage, compost, no compost. There was some on-farm work. So it's a big mix. 76 different sites that were sampled, soil, and a little over 1,000 soil samples. Okay. Mostly agronomic crops, but also some prairie and some forest soils, some urban soils as well. So I just don't have time to get into the logistics of or the details of all these things, but suffice it to say we tried to build a diverse data set. Percent of soil, I think this is an interesting slide just because it gives people an idea when we're talking about measuring these active fractions, what kind of magnitude we're actually measuring, right? And so if we think about active carbon and respiration microbial biomass, we're talking about maybe 1 to 3 to 4% of the total carbon, okay? And then we can think of that as a percentage of organic matter, percent of total. This is a very, very small, on a weight basis, very small percentage of what is in soil. But it represents a very disproportionately important role, okay? So is there a relationship? You know, I think I'm going to quote someone who quoted Elder Paul saying, you know, all soil carbon measurements are related, but who cares, right? So what? So we got this. We can look at these different sites, and we can see that if we look at mineralized carbon or respiration versus the permanganate oxidizable carbon, we can see generally a positive relationship there. So when we get one, when one value goes up, typically another value goes up, okay? But some of our previous work with SIGSNAP in Michigan, we're kind of like trying to tease apart this relationship a little bit. And so we kind of came to the study with this idea that these two soil carbon fractions are related but different. And so this idea that permanganate oxidizable carbon might be better related to functioning in the soil to greater stabilization processes, whereas this respiration or mineralized carbon metric is more related to nutrient release. So obviously that's a mineralization process that we're measuring. So, you know, can that be related? So if we might think for a second about from a grower perspective, trying to educate folks about the dynamics between building carbon versus burning carbon and the implications for that in our agroecosystems. Do we want greater mineralization or do we want greater carbon building? I would argue that, you know, the soils that we really want to farm and have very productive are in that kind of that second quadrat, which is targeting both of this high stabilization processes and high mineralization process. Okay, so what we did is we took this graph, right? This graph is a number of different studies, and there's different treatments nested within each one of these panels. I'm not getting into those details, but suffice it to say that we just regressed, the values for every soil within a site over the POXY values and mineralized carbon values, and then we assigned, we just overlaid that treatment, whatever that treatment was. So was it a no-till versus conventional till, cover crop versus no cover crop? This is data right here from Michigan showing a composted treatment versus the control kind of business as usual conventional treatment. And then what we did is we just took the residual, right? This is our least square line. If we think about that, what that is it predicts what one property is based on another. And so we took the average of those residuals, and we kind of deduced that a positive residual would mean that the POX value, that average POX value in that site, had a greater than predicted value. And then if it was a negative residual, that was more related to mineralization. Okay, so it's just this kind of, again, we know that these measurements are related, but trying to kind of tease out which one, what's the a greater relative influence. Okay. So when we did that, and then we looked at kind of these residuals, we can see that taking a primary manipulation like tillage, well, again, these positive residuals consistently across these sites were in the no-till treatments. And then the negative residuals were, the average of the residuals were in the tillage treatment, okay? And so, again, this is the idea that POXy, that active carbon measurement, is greatly related to a no-tillage, or is more, I guess, let me think about how to say this, it's influenced more heavily from the no-tillage treatment, right? Whereas this respiration measurement is influenced to a greater extent with a tillage treatment. And so that conceptually makes sense if we think about, breaking down aggregates and greater mineralization flushes in that regard. The same was true for, we had compost, so compost again versus no compost, or compost versus manure treatments. You can kind of get some sense of what these treatments are just by looking at these axes labels. But so this is a study from California, but compost had positive residuals, manure had negative residuals, and then the control plot had somewhere in between. So, and again, it's this idea that that compost was greatly influenced by the POXy procedure, and manure was more greatly influenced by the mineralization of that respiration metric. Okay. Cover crops as well. So great, essentially with the cover crop treatment, that was related to greater mineralization. Okay, so we think that this is we think that this relationship and kind of thinking about it in this way is meaningful. We saw consistent treatment differences, and that we think that it's an interesting idea to explore a little bit further. So, but then we wanted to also ask this question about which one is better at predicting performance, and I'm using the word predicting here in a multiple linear regression sense. We know that when we do these manipulations, we can't. There's a lot of things that differ between some of these systems trials. So, if we're looking at an organic versus a conventional or whatever, so nothing. The approach here was just to take a stepwise best subset regression model and look at things like using corn grain yield as the predictor, using things like looking at corn total above ground biomass, looking at wheat grain yield, and then looking at tomato fruit yield, okay? So these are the different studies that had those different response variables. And then we ranked these predictors based on the ability, whatever that automated selection model pulled out. And then there's R squares behind each one, okay? So we can kind of look down the list. And again, I'm not going to focus on the specifics in any given study here, but just this idea of if we look at total carbon or we look at some of these active fractions, which one is better related to yield, essentially, okay? And so POXy and mineralizable carbon were the second or first of the best predictors in 21 out of the 28 comparisons that we had, okay? So is this a comprehensive analysis, not by any measure, but the idea that that these things are meaningful, I think, shows up here. And so both of the measurements are capable of predicting agronomic performance, and But, you know, again, how does this relate to management? There's a lot of individual questions. A lot of each one of these sites is a different story that we can kind of pull apart. So to conclude, pox and respiration are related but unique fractions. We believe that they represent a little bit different processes. Pox appears to represent or really build soil organic matter building or stabilization processes. Okay, so things like conservation tillage or reduced tillage or no tillage, things like compost, these are things that we know generally build organic matter. And the mineralizable carbon or respiration method appears to represent more of an organic mineralization process or set of processes. So things like tillage, manure treatments, cover crops, and increasing that available nitrogen pool. So they're both inexpensive, they're both sensitive to management, but you know, clearly more work is needed in terms of trying to understand what they mean. And then Trent talked about it earlier today, but just this idea of taking measurements and locally calibrating them for that calibration correlation analysis. So with that, I'll thank you, and I'll be happy to take any questions.